Bishop Scharpenberger, if you would take it away, and I believe you are unmuted, so thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. Thanks to everybody for joining us. And if I might just ask Bishop Michael Wood to lead us in prayer.
Okay. Thank you, Bishop Scharpenberger. I thought we would begin with the prayer. I've been looking at the various prayers that you have developed for the the road to renewal, and they're beautiful prayers. So as we got started, I thought the prayer to renew our mission would be a good way to pray in our time together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Holy God of love and mercy, living in our hearts, sanctify and transform us. Unite and form our minds, hearts, and spirits in accord with your holy will. As Jesus calls us friends, may we encounter and accompany one another as family, searching out and embracing, especially any of your loved ones whom we have overlooked, wounded, or driven away. Forgive us, heal us, renew us. As we trust in you, who have chosen us and called us each by name, may we entrust ourselves to one another as family. As a communion of disciples of Jesus Christ, we accept our mission to proclaim the joy of the gospel to everyone we meet. May your love for each and every one of us dispel the seeds of doubt, fear, and division sown by the evil one, raising us up as strong and courageous witnesses to your holy presence among us. We thank you for creating and calling us. We embrace the mission you entrust to us, and we pledge with your grace to let your light shine on the world that hungers and thirsts for your word. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks so much, Bishop Michael. Where do I begin? We just celebrated Thanksgiving, and although it was perhaps one of the most unusual and difficult Thanksgiving we've had, there was a lot of pain in it, a lot of separation, a lot of uncompleted business, and I suppose I could say that that's all a part of my own personal experience. But if I were to say that the one feeling that I have more than anything else right now is of tremendous gratitude. Gratitude to God, of course. Gratitude to our Holy Father for not only appointing me here to be able to spend these few months with you, but most especially for you, everybody who is here. I've come to begin to know the people of Buffalo through these recent months. And I feel that I've made friends that I'll have for life. Doesn't hurt that you have the greatest bakeries and better pizza than Albany. I hope they're not listening to that in Albany. But the reality is that the human warmth that I've been shown, the love, the hope, as well as the pain. Pope Francis reminded us that in these COVID times, the best thing we can do is to share one another's pain, to listen, to forgive, and to pray together. And I think we've done some of that together on this road that we've begun to walk. And although I only had the opportunity to meet Bishop Michael recently, he's a fairly newly ordained bishop, not much after I was. I go back to 2014. I think he was 2017. He's a man that I feel in a short period of time that I already know. There is something in his heart. There's a pastoring, fathering, brotherly quality that I think everyone will pick up immediately. Without any further ado, I'm going to let him speak for himself. But as I ask him now to present himself, let me just do my role and say I am very happy and pleased and thrilled to present to you Bishop Michael Fisher. as the next Bishop of Buffalo.
Thank you for your kind words, Bishop Scharfenberger. I also have enjoyed our interaction so far and look forward to hopefully being in the same room with you soon. But with much warmth and genuine gratitude that I'm certainly feeling in my heart right now, I greet all of you, the good people of the Diocese of Buffalo. And those of you who have joined this virtual gathering, I come to you as your new bishop. I am first and foremost your brother in faith, your co-worker in bringing about the kingdom of God in our midst. And now I am your pastor and shepherd in the journey toward renewal of purpose and mission. I hope you will call me Bishop Mike. Yeah, I always the term Father Mike was always endearing to me, and I love it. And Bishop Mike, I think will be wonderful for you to hopefully refer to me as. First, I wish to offer my congratulations to Cardinal Wilton Gregory and his historic elevation to the College of Cardinals as our first African-American cardinal. What a great gift the Holy Father, Pope Francis, has given to the church in the United States and the local church in the Archdiocese of Washington. It has been a great privilege and blessing to serve as one of his auxiliary bishops. I offer him my continued prayer and support. I can't tell you how excited I am and in accepting this new assignment that the Holy Father has offered me, with the opportunity to become part of a new family. I'm sorry I am unable to be there in Buffalo. I know Bishop Scharfenberger and I did our best to try to arrange for that, but I look forward when I can be with you there in person. Due to the COVID restrictions, my attempts to get there by plane, train, and automobiles proved impractical. My hope is to travel to Buffalo as soon as is possible for a visit before my permanent move. I thank all of you, and of course, those of the news media for joining us today. Thank God for modern technology. I have heard repeatedly about the tremendous warmth and innate friendliness of the people of Buffalo, your commitment to faith, education, diversity of cultures, and of course the Bills and those world famous wings. I look forward to becoming a Buffalonian and learning more of the long history and culture of the local church and being a part of this vibrant community. A mentor of mine, Monsignor Bill Awal, once shared a piece of wisdom when I was a young seminarian. He said, "Michael, do not ask for or say no to an assignment. If you do this, you will be a happy priest. Let the Holy Spirit guide you to where you need to be." 2 weeks ago, when Archbishop Pierre, Apostolic Nuncio to the United States, called me, I knew the Holy Spirit was leading me to a new home and family in Buffalo. First, I wish to offer to our Holy Father, Pope Francis, my deepest appreciation and gratitude for the confidence he has placed in me in appointing me the 15th Bishop of the Diocese of Buffalo. I offer him my faithfulness, support, and continued prayers as he shepherds the people of God. I wish to also offer my deep gratitude to Bishop Ed Scharfenberger, who has served as apostolic administrator during this past year, as well as continuing to shepherd his Diocese of Albany. We thank the good people there in Albany for sharing his time and his talent in ministry with the people of Buffalo. I thank him for his warm welcome, the tremendous pastoral outreach he has begun with the Road to Renewal, and I look forward to his counsel to joining the local church in Buffalo on this journey of hope, holiness, and healing. I owe everything to my wonderful parents, Margot and Bill, a beloved memory, who gave me the gift of life and faith. With my two sisters and two brothers, they provided us with a loving family and nourished us with their own profound faith. I have to say I was blessed with the best parents one could ask for. I had great grandparents also who had quite an influence on us. They all taught us valuable lessons of love, family, and life. My mother was a Washingtonian, and my father was a Baltimorean. You might hear a little of my Baltimore accent as I speak. I was raised in Baltimore until I left to live with my grandmother while attending the University of Maryland in the Washington area. It was in the Archdiocese of Washington that I was ordained a priest by Cardinal James Hickey after attending Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland. I have lived and served as a priest for 30 years and an auxiliary bishop for 2 years. My first 15 years were serving the people of God as a parish priest and pastor. One of my parishes was St. John Neumann Parish in Gaithersburg, Maryland. I know much of St. John Neumann's ministry was spent in the Buffalo region, as well as in my native place of Baltimore. He's always been an inspiration in his mission, his spirit of mission and outreach. The last 15 years, I have worked for about a year as Vicar General for the Apostolates, where I spent a lot of ministry directed to parish life, education and schools, catechesis, and the charities and social concerns of the Archdiocese. Most of my last 14 years, I have served as Secretary for Ministerial Leadership and Vicar for Clergy for Cardinal Gregory and Cardinal Wuerl. It has been a great joy and privilege to share in the joys and struggles of priests, deacons, and religious. I wish to thank Cardinal Gregory and Cardinal Wuerl for the confidence that they placed in my ministry. One thing you should know about me is that I am a parish priest in my heart and at my very core. That's what I bring. Since my ordination, all I wanted to do was to be a pastor. I love everything about being a pastor, celebrating the sacraments, baptizing babies, and celebrating marriages, worshiping, serving, and being a part of a parish family. That is what motivates me and excites me when I rise in the morning and go to bed at night. This is what, again, you get in your new bishop. The mission of the church is clear. Share the good news. Jesus Christ is living, is risen and lives among us, revealing his presence each and every day through the lived faith of others. Any vision on my part will be formed in collaboration, consultation, and communication with my new family in the Diocese of Buffalo. My first priority will be to get to know the parishes and its people. God willing, when I'm able, I hope to visit the parishes and the schools. A second priority will be to get to know the priests and pastors. I look forward to sharing and hearing about the joys and challenges that they face for the good of the people they serve. I also look forward to meeting those laity, religious, and clergy who work in the Catholic Center for the good of the diocese. Finally, another priority is to continue the healing and work of renewing the faith and ministries of the diocese that Bishop Scharfenberger and so many devoted parish leaders have begun. This is a work of holiness. This is the work of the church. As we look to the future with hope and renewal, I am well aware of the challenges we face, the ongoing COVID threat, and the restrictions it requires to keep us safe, the financial constraints that the diocese Chapter 11 status entails, and most of all, our ongoing need to acknowledge the pain and destruction of those whose lives have been so deeply hurt by the abuse by members of the clergy. If they will allow it, I hope to walk with them in seeking healing, to listen and in some way soothe the wounds that have been inflicted on them, and to lessen the burden they have been forced to carry. Collaboration and mutual dependency must guide all of our efforts and ambitions, walking together, supporting one another, listening intently, and before offering our own viewpoint. Whether clergy, laity, or religious, our fate and future depends on combining our ideas, talents, expertise, and resources, as well as the presumption of goodwill. As I now join in this journey that is already underway, I ask for your patience with me, your prayers. I am very sure that I will make mistakes, and I hope to be the first to recognize and acknowledge them. It is my promise to persist in seeking the best solutions to the challenges that together we face and which are directed to reestablishing trust, credibility, healing, and renewal. In all things, I pledge to be truthful and transparent in the decisions that we will need to make. Collaboration and consultation with pastoral council, the council of the laity, priest council, finance council, and the committee for the protection of children and vulnerable adults is essential to work with and to collaborate with. In addition to these are the pastoral concerns of our mission as we look to the education of our children and the viability of our schools and parishes. Do our families have the means and accessibility to an education that will help form and nurture lives of faith, moral virtue, and responsible citizenship? Are we looking out for the poor and the vulnerable among us? This is our mandate given by none other than our Lord Jesus Christ himself. I look forward to meeting those engaged in the important ministry of social justice and those vital corporate and spiritual works of mercy. Like the two disciples who met the risen Lord on the road to Emmaus, whose hearts were burning after hearing and experiencing the good news. My brothers and sisters, my heart is burning, burning to be with you, burning to work with you, to pray with you, to celebrate you with you. I'm very excited to be your new bishop, and I look forward to praying again with you. Let's journey now as a family with Christ. Please be assured of my continued prayers throughout the days to come, and I ask in a very special way that our Blessed Mother and her loving mantle protect and lead all of us to her Son. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bishop Mike. I want to try to do this in an organized way. We're going to move to your questions. So I would ask the those of you who joined us to if you can share your video, so I'll do my best to cover as many of you. Make sure we get all your questions in. This is what this is about. I'm going to go out the gallery here. So we're ready for the first question. And I think I need to unmute you. So if you could hold your hand up so I can see you, or that would be helpful so I can call on you, or again, use the chat window to indicate that you've got a question. Okay, Jay Tokaz, you have to unmute yourself. I've asked to unmute you. Uh, Jay, I'm trying to unmute you here. Do you have a note? Can you sing? Can you unmute yourself, Jay?
Yes.
There we go. Go ahead. Jay Tokas, okay. Buffalo News.
Bishop Mike, I just wanted to ask you about the recent report from the state attorney general, which basically revealed a pattern of cover-up and deceit among bishops and other high-ranking diocese officials dating back decades. I just wondered how you intend to break from this traditional proclivity toward shielding inappropriate and often criminal behavior from public knowledge.
Well, thank you for that question. Again, I'm aware of the suit. Obviously, it's very serious. I do want to say three things. One is that, you know, that the zero tolerance policy for any abuse of children or the sexual harassment of adults, you know, needs to be taken seriously and followed. In my view, to cooperate with the civil authorities will be very much important to us. Again, as a new pastor, I'm coming in as a pastor, and I know we need to be truthful. We need to be to establish that trust with those that we serve. Our parishes and our schools need to be places that our parents and those that we serve feel safe. So I'm very much for accountability and transparency. I come as a priest that also wants to work with those who are there to implement the important policies that keep, again, our children safe. This will be also the healing that we need to provide for those who are survivors and victims of abuse. Much of my ministry as a bishop has also been involved with the care of those who have been abused. I have conducted and worked with retreats for abuse victims. So I hope I bring a sensibility of looking at this through their eyes.
Just a quick
follow up.
Yeah, you know, some of what you've said, I personally have heard from at least three bishops mm-hmm. installed here in Buffalo prior to yourself. Why should local Catholics expect anything different from you entering into this position? You know, other bishops have said similar things to what you're saying now.
Okay. Well, again, I've just been appointed, and I hope you will give me the opportunity. Certainly trust needs to be seen in our actions and how we carry out our ministry. So I am committed to certainly transparency and working with those all of the people of the diocese to help move forward. The road to renewal, I think, is a wonderful opportunity to do that and to bring hope and mission again to our good people there in Buffalo.
Thank you, Jay. I have the next question that came in. I'm just going to take these in order. And I know, Charlie, you've got a question too, but Michael Baggerman was just before you. So go ahead, Michael. I'm going to try to find you here quickly. There you are. And you need to unmute yourself now. There you go.
Can you guys hear me all right?
Yes. Yes. Identify yourself again. Thank and your organization, Michael.
Sure. Sure. Mike Baggerman from WBEN Radio. Bishop, I'd like to ask kind of a follow-up to Jay's question just a moment ago. It's about that Attorney General report, but specifically, I'd like to know about the timing of this. Of course, this report just comes out, and then we get the announcement that we have a new bishop in Buffalo. Was there any link to the timing of the release to the timing of this announcement today?
Not that I know of. I found out about I found out about 2 weeks ago that I was named the bishop. So it was a surprise to me. So all that has come again is new.
Okay. Anything else there, Mike, real quickly? I'm going to move to Charlie Speck. Charlie, I need to find you here. Just give me a moment. Sorry. Charlie, there you are. There you are, Charlie. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Bishop Fisher, welcome to Buffalo.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to ask, as far as the issue of transparency, some of the only real transparency that Catholics have seen has come from civil authorities, like the Attorney General putting out reports. The Vatican last year did an investigation of the Diocese of Buffalo, but that Vatican report has never been revealed even to Catholics in Buffalo. In the interest of transparency, is that something that you would seek the Vatican's permission to make public so that people fully know what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the Attorney General report?
I was talking about the report that was commissioned by the Vatican when Bishop DiMarzio investigated the diocese last year, that report. Will you push for that report to be made public?
Okay. Well, again, that is something that I will need to look at. I've just been named today and have not been given the details of those things yet. But I will be certainly delving into those issues and hopefully with proper collaboration and consultation will can be able hopefully to make those kinds of decisions later.
Thanks. Charlie. Okay. Thank you, Charlie. I'm going to go to Mike, the next one. I see you, Steve, but I'm Michael Rosiak. Go ahead.
Good morning. Can you hear me, Bishop? Can you hear
can
me,
you
Bishop?
Can you unmute yourself?
Yes. Can you hear me now, Bishop? Are you able to hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure. Bishop Mike, first of all, congratulations and welcome to Buffalo.
Thank you.
You spoke about looking forward to being a Buffalonian, but you are coming from the outside here. Earlier this fall, Bishop Scharfenberger announced the start of a renewal task force that will evaluate facilities, resources, and clearly some tough decisions have to be made, not knowing how far along that process is. Being that you begin as an outsider, speak about that ability to make that objective and potentially the tough decisions as you come in and inherit that project.
Okay. Well, once again, I come with as a pastor with a pastor's heart. A lot of my work as a parish priest and pastor was working with my pastoral council, finance council, also my work also at the archdiocesan level has been working across various secretariats that we call them departments, education, social concerns, all of those have been, I think, have helped me hopefully to develop a collaborative spirit. In the parish, I always felt that it was important that I know as a pastor, sometimes you have to make the difficult and final decision, but there's a lot of things to do before you get to that point. And I see this process of road to renewal as a part of that. So I want to enter into that and into that collaboration with all of the lay leadership in our parishes and the diocese as well as our priests. You know, our priests are, I always say that the priests are there where the tire hits the road, and working with them and seeing their, certainly their perspective. So bringing all of this together, a lot needs to be, I think, shared before I think really I'm in a position to make those kinds of decisions. But I hope I bring, again, a pastor's skills as well as sensibilities to the process. Hopefully I'll be able to come with an open slate, open heart with things. Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Bishop.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Michael. Steve Brown.
Good morning, Bishop. Welcome. Steven. Congratulations. I'm Steve Brown. I work at WGRZ Channel 2 here in town. Uh-huh. I think for the vast history of the church, leaders like yourself have always had the benefit of the doubt. I don't know in this day and age whether that exists any longer. How do you, as the new bishop of the Buffalo Diocese, plan to go forward knowing that you're going to have to earn trust back that has been spent by your predecessors?
No, and I understand that. I think trust has been broken, certainly between because of the clergy abuse as well as other things. And I really feel that we need to rebuild that trust through our actions and our decisions. And in doing that, I think part of that will be making sure that we're looking out for those who are vulnerable, those who are in need of our healing. I want to be a part of the healing process there to show them that we can be trusted, that our word can be trusted, and that is through our actions, by following the policies that we have in place, again, for the protection of children and vulnerable adults. I come with an open heart and hopefully with transparency and accountability. Those are things, again, that we have to build on. Those are things that we can't take it for granted, like you said, that we have that. Goodwill, I think there is a lot of goodwill given up front, and we need to look at, celebrate that, but at the same time, we have much to be healed, to bring about healing in these relationships of bishops, priests, and our people and our parishes.
Do you suppose that what you're talking about is possible, given that people in the diocese still don't have a clear picture of who knew what about the misdeeds done by clergy and who may still remain inside the Catholic Center or within diocesan offices? They still don't know. How do they trust a diocese where disclosure has not been full?
Well, that's what I'm going to commit to, is certainly full transparency and accountability. I have to meet the people of the Catholic Center as well as our parishes. I need to get to know them and to understand what is taking place there. But I can assure you, I will always cooperate with civil authorities when it comes to any criminal acts that have taken place. So I can only pledge that I will do my best to be as transparent. As a pastor, I was always there's always a challenge to communicate. You know, communication, collaboration are, I think, key things that I think I've put into practice in my own ministry that I hope to bring to the diocese as your new bishop.
Thank you, Steve. Next question. Looking for a hand. Well, Jay, you've had a couple. I'm happy to give you another shot if there's nobody. Charlie, you too, but Jay, you, Let me get somebody else who hasn't asked a question. I'll come back to you, Jay, next, and then Charlie. Mark Zimmerman. Can't hear you, Mark. No, can't hear you, Mark. Yeah, you're on. You're not. We can't hear you. There, try now.
Hear me now.
There you go. Yep.
Right. Bishop, I wanted to also ask you about other challenges that have arisen in our country this year. The COVID crisis is spiking across our country and certainly in New York. And then there have also been a reckoning for racial justice with the killing of unarmed people of color by police. How do you hope to address those challenges as you become the new Bishop of Buffalo? And what advice would you have also for people, regular Catholics, in this winter that's been predicted to be so difficult in terms of COVID? What should they do from your pastor's perspective?
Well, thank you, Mark, for that question. I want to begin by saying that I have personally, this past year, through the COVID pandemic, buried four of my brother priests in the Archdiocese. As you're aware, a part of my responsibility was taking care of the funerals for our priests. And so I know personally, I also have family members who have had the COVID virus. So I know the devastation that it has placed on families and our nation. My understanding is that the Diocese of Buffalo have just like we have in the Archdiocese of Washington, have safety and health precautions in place. And I think we need to cooperate fully in following the guidelines until we get through this. I know there's a vaccine on the way, hopefully, God willing. After we see that, we begin to bloom. I hope that we sort of bloom out of our cocoons, you might say, and in our parishes and in our schools. Again, we're in this together, and we have to look out for the safety and well-being of all of our brothers and sisters. This is what the church is about. It's about healing and building up the common good, the common good of our society. So I think we need to be cooperating in these regards. In regards to racism, yes, there is systematic racism in our country and in our church. You know, and I think there we need to be more better at listening. Again, as a pastor, we need to I need to listen. So I have members of my own family who are police officers. My two brothers and my nephew are in law enforcement. So I know what they've experienced in this past year. They're appalled, you know, when there's this kind of violence towards our African American brothers. So I think we need to be able to empathize and also to look from the perspective of the other point of view. We need to be talking. We need to be interacting with one another. I've been a pastor in two parishes that are, and now I live in one that's very diverse. I think we have like 86 different nationalities here, and so there's much that we need to respect and to learn and appreciate and rejoice in each other's cultures, but also to hear when our brothers and sisters talk about hatred and racism. Again, that is a sin. It's a sin against the dignity of every human being, and we need to certainly be working towards better solutions to how we treat one another.
Thank you. Jay, you were the next, and then Charlie, follow-up questions. Go ahead, Jay. You have to unmute yourself.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was wondering, Archbishop Pierre is pretty familiar with the problems that have happened in the Buffalo Diocese over the past couple of years. I was wondering if you could describe the conversation he had with you about the appointment to Buffalo. Was there any discussion of the problems here, why you were chosen, and anything along those lines that you could describe for us?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that question. It's funny, my Archbishop Pierre called me just as we were getting ready to go. We were, as you know, a couple weeks ago, we had the Bishop's Conference, and that was all by Zoom, just like we're doing this. And I was getting ready to go on to the Zoom with the day of the second day of the Bishop's Conference. And my phone rang here at the desk, and it was Archbishop Pierre. He introduced himself. He said, he asked me if I was seated. And I said, well, I am. And he says, is it a comfortable chair? And I said, well, yes. And he said, well, the Holy Father has named you Bishop of Buffalo. And there was a little bit of a silence. And then he said, do you accept? And I said, yes. And he said, well, very, very good. And that was really the extent of it. He said that I would be in contact with Bishop Scharfenberger about, you know, the announcement and all of that. But in terms of going into any of the problems and the challenges of the diocese, he didn't get into that. My understanding is that, again, part of why I have been appointed to the Diocese of Buffalo as its new bishop is because of my experience as a pastor. You know, that again, as I've said over and over again, you know, and I mean that, I am a pastor. You know, I'm not a politician. You know, as you can see, I hope I bring a genuine heart and approach to the ministry there. I don't want to minimize. I know that there are a lot of issues. And again, my style of ministry is cooperation, collaboration, and lots of communication. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Charlie.
Bishop Fisher, a lot of Catholics have talked about the idea of a fresh start or cleaning house somehow in the diocese. There are two people who are mentioned in the Attorney General report repeatedly. One of them is Monsignor David LaPuma, who's chairman of the Road to Renewal, and the other is diocesan attorney Terry Connors. Are you taking the position that you would like to, start sort of a clean break with the people who were mentioned in that Attorney General report as being part of the concealment here and the violation of the charter? Or are you going to rely on all the same people who advised your predecessors and sort of got the diocese into this mess?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I need thank you for the question. I do need to meet people. I need to understand what their gifts and their skills are, as well as the issues behind certainly the report. Again, what one of the gifts I hope that I bring there is and what I've always also felt is a part of being a pastor is recognizing the gifts of other people and putting their gifts to work for the good of the church as well as the that. So anybody, I still need to get to know all of the employees at the Catholic Center, again, our priests. So I have much work ahead of me before I could even really comment, you know, who wouldn't or would be in a particular position.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Charlie. Okay. We've got some more time, a little more time here. I'm looking for the next question. I see a lot of shy people with the cameras off, which is fine. You can use the chat again. All right. I want to give every opportunity at this early stage. And again, Bishop Fisher will make his way to Baltimore at the earliest opportunity under the circumstances with COVID and the need for testing both here and there. I don't see any other questions. So Bishop and Bishop Scharfenberger, is there anything you'd like to say in closing? Otherwise, we'll conclude and be happy to follow up with any of you in the course of the day or in the coming days. Bishop Mike?
I really do look forward to being up there and to become a Buffalonian and to meet everyone. As we have shared in the questions, I realize that there are very difficult challenges ahead of us, but I think we have the good news of the gospel. We have the strength of our Lord and the Holy Spirit working with us. So working together, we will move forward and hopefully leave no one behind. You know, we need to make sure that we make sure that those who need healing that they are welcomed and that they are that they know that they have an ear and someone to walk with them. So I look forward to walking with all of you on the road, you know, on the road to renewal. And thank you.
Thank
Hopefully
you,
I can find a dog sled to get me to Buffalo, huh?
Bishop Ed, anything you wish to say? Otherwise, we'll...
What comes back to mind was a question that was asked of Pope Francis when he just became Pope. And I don't know whether it was asked by a reporter or a priest or I just don't know who asked him, but the question was, how do you describe yourself as a person? You know, not as Pope Francis, but just as Frank Bergoglio, I guess. And he said, the one thing I can absolutely say about myself that describes exactly who I am is that I am a sinner. I felt so good when he said that, because I've always taken consolation in the attitude of Christ towards all sinners, myself included, that he died for us all. And it is that hope in forgiveness and redemption. We cannot defend the indefensible and shouldn't even try to. The sin must always be called out. But every sin is committed by a human being, by a person. And every wound is inflicted on a person. And we need to recognize that every single human being is deserving of our love. I just hope that as we move forward, that all of us will remember that. I think that there is, in our day and age, a tendency to want to canonize perhaps saints before their time, but also to excoriate sinners and to condemn them before they've had a chance to turn back to the Lord. And I think that one of the things that the road to Emmaus, and I'm so happy to hear that so many of you brought that up today, that we are accompanying one another on this road. And we believe the Lord is with us. He will give us the strength and the courage to be able to call out the sin and to ask for forgiveness, to be able to make the healing that is needed. How are we going to do this? Go back again to the person whose picture is right behind me, their Mother Teresa, when she was faced with this incredible challenge of all of these people broken, wounded, hurt, sick, cast aside in the streets of Calcutta. And she was asked, how are you a little nun, you know, a little small nun, how are you going to be able to reach all these people? And her answer was one person at a time. So I want to assure you that I've only gotten to know you, begin to get to know you, but I will be very happy to continue to walk with all those friends that I have met. I want to give all of my support to Bishop Mike, to every single person in this diocese. I've been so grateful to be able to spend this short time with you, and I hope that I continue to walk with you as well, too, in prayer and in my love and support. So as I began, the word that I can best describe my feelings with art is thank you.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you all. Thank you for this time. Thank you, Bishop Mike, and welcome to Buffalo. All of you will be happy to follow up with you, as I said, in the course of the day and the coming days. Okay. This will be this recording of this press availability will be made available as soon as possible today. So hopefully by noon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.